Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
And
if you want to check us out on all of our social media platforms, on Twitter at Tinfoil Hat Cast,
on Instagram at Tinfoil Hat Pod,
or allcomedytshirts.com,
email us at tinfoilhatpod@gmail.com.
Tinfoil hat.
Hey man, where's the truth there, dog?
Tinfoil hat.
Oh, what the fuck are you guys even talking about?
Are you ready to get your mind blown?
Revolution will be podcasted.
And welcome to another episode of Tinfoil Hat. You know who we are. You know what we're here to do. Thank you guys for all your support and all your love. Go check out the Patreon. It's been rocking. It is patreon.com/tinfoilhat. And the t-shirts, we got t-shirts. It's go to allcomedytshirts.com. How's that? That's all the news right there. Boom. We get into it. Join us in studio. We're very excited to have him in his new movie, Psychonautics, a comics exploration of psychedelics, is in the L.A. Dances with Film Festival, June 15th. Please welcome Shane Moss, everybody.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Hey, man. Woo. Super excited to have you on.
Yeah.
We've been going back and forth for a little while.
Yeah, I moved from L.A. last July.
And so how does it feel?
I'm indifferent to it. I don't care either way. I liked being in L.A., and even though I didn't go, I'm on the road. I'm a road guy, and so I don't really do spots when I'm... You know, I'm in Portland now. I don't like go out and do spots when I'm at home.
So it's just basically a traffic thing. You have less traffic.
Yeah, slightly less traffic. And so, I only moved there for my girlfriend.
Why Portland? Oh, your girlfriend lives up there? Yeah.
But I kind of want to live in a new city every 3 years is kind of the plan that I'm shooting for. But it's sort of going that way.
Who's on the big board right now? What are the cities you think?
I think like Denver, Boulder area is maybe the next move. Asheville's kind of maybe on
Bisbee,
the list.
Arizona?
No. But I think that's... Well, I would need to check out what the airport situation
closest
is
closest one is, for, I guess, Tucson, right?
Yeah.
Ooh, Tucson. That's big in the news right now. So tell us about your movie, man.
So it's a documentary of basically kind of a fun introduction into the world, into the current world of psychedelics through... the lens of a bunch of different researchers exploring what's going on with psychedelic research, and then my own experience, and I go around like getting a professional ketamine treatment, and shows me going around like picking mushrooms and doing mushrooms with folks that are experts, and then I eventually, it's not much of a spoiler because we kind of show this in the trailer, I think, but I eventually went crazy as well. And so that was unexpected.
So you went too deep.
Yeah, it definitely changed the scope of the film. Yeah, I mean, I was trying to find where the line was, really, because I was doing lots and lots of, during the filming, I was doing tons of psychedelics, and I was seemingly like only showing improvements from them for a very long time, and then just something flipped. And went too manic.
Is there a point of too much understanding how the universe works?
That almost
hurts you?
It's like when you do something like DMT or ayahuasca or something like that, it can be a bit of a disassociative where you're kind of going into this what seems like another dimension or something like that. So, something very different than this world. And that's all fine and good when then you come back here. But then when that just like doesn't turn off, and then this world and that world, which are two complete opposite kind of realities, start mixing together, things got really weird. And it felt like I was living in a simulation, or like changing some simulation with my mind. There was like, I would like.
So it's almost like when you control your dreams, but you're awake.
Yeah.
Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, and yeah. There was like people glitching and stuff like that. And it was just really creeping me
out. Was this when you were under substances or?
No, afterwards. Yeah. I got some pretty specific messages during an ayahuasca trip. And I was like, oh, that's neat. You know, I mean, it seemed like I was talking with this very like, I don't know, something outside of this existence. And then it like kind of told me about a few things that were going to happen. And then they happened like the next day.
Well, what are these things they told you? That's what I want to know about.
Yeah, they were, it was weird because they were like, it was some odd message about how I was supposed to help tell people and spread the word about DMT. But specifically, it was talking about this. There's this guy putting together this DMT extended state. So DMT is usually like a 10-minute thing, but he's trying to he's trying to get with IVs and everything, yeah, and do it for like a 4 to 6 hour long thing. And so there was like some messages about how I was supposed to like spread the word about DMT using this for some reason. And then there was messages about how like changing like the education system in some way, that like going back to the way our ancestors would sit around the fire and exchange information. And I didn't really think much about any of this, but it was mentioning this very specific scientist that I have a science podcast called Here We Are. And there's, oh, thanks, man.
Yeah, it's really good. Because it's funny to hear you talk about all this. I know Aaron's in the corner like, what kind of burnout did they just bring on? You listen to your podcast, you just talked in amazing scientists, neuroscientists.
Yeah.
So it's like a flip side of it, you know?
Yeah, I'm a very skeptical person, yeah, usually. And this one scientist that had reached out like 2-3 months earlier and hadn't gotten back to me, I was like, yeah, he might. I knew him, and I got the feeling he didn't like really like me that much or respect some of my ideas. And that was, maybe it was just me being paranoid or whatever.
Right.
But and then there was a couple other little things like that. Didn't think much of it. And then the next day, the first text message that I got when I got like down off of this mountain where I didn't have phone reception, was a text message from this study, this DMT extended state study, asking me if I would be the first volunteer to like go in and be the first person to have like a sick. and then the second message I got was from this scientist that I'd reached out to 3 months earlier and was like, hey, what's up, man? I just got back into the country, and here's this article that I wrote about how to change the education system.
And
I'm like, what the hell is going on? And things started getting, and it's crazier than that, because when I was on ayahuasca, this thing was just like, so you're ready, we're going to like download this content into you now. And I'm like,
hold on.
Yeah.
Who is this thing?
Okay.
So in the DMT space, what it looks like is to me, after having done it a lot, what it ultimately looks like is this kind of pattern of code and mathematical possibilities that are colliding into one another. And when like when
is it a form?
It looks like a like a flat holographic patchwork, just plane of every possibility of all of the data that there is, and then like the bits of new data crash into each other. And
when you say data, is it binary code, or is it
like it? Yeah, but like ones and zeros are kind of a human invention.
To give you a backstory, and I happen to know a lot, I've listened to almost every podcast you've ever been on. And not to retell some stories.
Not the creep or anything.
Yeah, Sam knows. I'm a podcast listener first.
Yeah.
And a
tinsel. He's a connoisseur.
Yeah, exactly. But I remember you telling a story about you explaining this to a fellow comedian, how DMT, you should try it out. And you never told him.
Oh, yeah.
So could you maybe just to understand, because Aaron, we're lucky, all three of us have done psychedelics.
Yeah.
Aaron has done none. So for him to hear the story, so explain to him from start to finish. I mean,
it's going to be a goal of the podcast.
If you don't want to, you don't want to.
Shroom. This is like the story that everyone likes to hear about. And they always, it's like when people come out to shows, they're like, what's up with the purple lady? Any updates? It was around my 20th DMT trip, and DMT was just like very strange. And I was kind of like arguing with these beings in there and telling them that they're like just in my head and all of that.
Arguing with them?
Yeah.
How many are there?
usually it's just this one thing that's just like it doesn't like look human or anything. It's just like almost like a city that's talking. But then there's this one guy in there that seems like me in like a different dimension. And then there's sometimes just like these weird little beings that I never quite remember. Everyone talks about these mechanical elves, and I never see these mechanical elves. And I don't know if maybe I'm just not remembering them. Mm-hmm. But anyway, I was like rather skeptical and kind of, because DMT, I'd be like, what is this? And be like, well, this is everything. And I was like, well, I don't think so. Like, I don't think that's possible. And I'd be like, well, whatever. This is everything. And I'd be like, well, like, show me everything then. And then it would just flash everything seemingly possible. I was like, well, that looks like everything, but I think that this is just in my head somehow. And I was like, you got to like do something to prove that this is outside of my head. And they're like, well, we don't have to do anything. Like, it doesn't, I'm not like sitting here having to convince you of any of this. Is just everything. I don't care if you believe it or not. And it was like pretty, it was, sometimes it seemed like it got a kick out of like my questioning it. And then other times it would seem just like bored or irritated. And so this one time I had this very profound trip, and I'll just cut to the end part of it, where I ended up seeing this purple dancing gypsy woman who I had just known for, it seemed like I knew her for like lifetimes upon lifetimes, and we were like just seeing each other again, like, oh my God, it's you, all right. And she's like dancing around and like telling me that all of this existence just keeps on happening again and again, and so just don't worry about it. This is just like this inevitable thing that has to happen. And I get done, and I'm like, yeah, okay, you know, that was. I explained to my friends, I'm like, I just saw this purple woman, and she was in this carnival, and there was like this weird Ferris wheel behind her, and a guy playing a keyboard, and it seemed like we knew each other, and she was wrapped in these codes. She like it looked like she was wrapped in these ropes that had kind of codes on them, and didn't really think much of it because like DMT is just always crazy like that. And then I went to a different friend's house the following day that didn't know these other people, and I didn't tell him. At the time, I was very cautious to like not influence anyone's judgment of what was going to happen. I've since abandoned that because it doesn't seem to matter. I was like, just smoke as much as you can. That's it, you know, smoke until you can't hold the bowl anymore.
Is that a rule?
Pretty much, yeah.
Three huge rips, right?
Yeah, if you can still hold the bowl, keep going. and so, yeah, I told him that, and it's his first time, and he's smoking, and he's not used to, he doesn't have, like, the weathered, like, weed smoking, bong ripping lungs that I developed in my teen years and whatnot.
Through practice.
And so, exactly. And training. And so he's smoking this bowl, and he's like coughing a lot. And I'm like, yeah, cause I can't tell how much it's getting into his system. So I'm like, just keep going. Just, you know, he's still holding the bowl. I mean, as far as I know, you can't smoke too much DMT. You can only smoke too little, and it's really confusing when you smoke too little. And so he keeps on smoking, the only thing that I told him basically to be ready for is that the first 2 minutes can be very intense for most people.
Why?
What's that?
Why? Why is it intense?
The first 2 minutes.
Like, what happens?
You go to all of this goes away. All of everything you've ever known or ever seen goes away, and then there's something else entirely going on, a completely different. It's way more Matrixy than the Matrix is, because the Matrix has like Keanu Reeves and like shit that exists in this world. Like DMT has nothing that looks like anything you've ever seen before or experienced before. It's like the laws of physics and everything else are all upside down. And
Doctor Strange, think that.
Yeah, and so he starts freaking out immediately, and I'm just like, and he has headphones on, and I'm just like sitting there.
Why does he have headphones on?
I was playing some music for him. I told him he could kick them off at any time, but the music sometimes helps guide the trip a little bit.
What songs do you like to play?
There's this band called Spongel that makes music basically specifically for DMT.
Spongel,
yeah. Specifically for like DMT trips. And they're all like 7 to 10 minute long. And he's like freaking out for like a minute and a half. He's just going over and over again. He's going like, I had too much. And after about a minute and a half of that, I'm like, he might have had too much. I think he might have. And so he finally kicks off the headphones and he's like, Shane, I had too much. And I was like, Bob, it's been like a minute and a half, like another 30 seconds. It should like calm down a little bit. And he just sits back and this big smile comes on his face. And he's like, oh, they love you here. And I was like, yeah, there's this like really sense of like love and like going home. That's a very commonly reported thing and something that I've experienced a lot. And he's like, no, Shane, they love you. And I was like, what are you talking about? And he goes,
well, he's tripping and talking to you.
Mm-hmm. And he goes, there's this purple woman in here that says that she knows you and she just like needs you to know that she loves you. And I'm like, what?
Shut up.
That's what I said. I started freaking the fuck out and I'm like very skeptic. I started like shaking. I'm like, what are you talking about? And then afterwards he said that he got into this DMT space and he saw these like mechanical elf kind of things. And he started freaking out as just this foreign thing. And as he was freaking out, they freaked out that he was freaking out and like went and hid. And then they were all like peeking around a corner at him. And that was freaking him out more. And then when he took the headphones off and he heard my voice, they all popped out and they were like, is that Shane? And he was like, you guys know Shane? And then they're like, oh, Shane comes in here all the time.
Shut up.
I know, it's very strange. And then that's when this purple woman comes out and he goes and he's like, and then it was this carnival and there was like this Ferris wheel and this guy behind her playing this organ. And he's like, you know, the weirdest thing was is she's wrapped in like these serpentine, like codes or something like that, and freaked me the fuck out. And then I almost quit doing DMT then, but after that time I only did DMT to like show people how to do DMT when people like really wanted to try it for the first time, and I started seeing this purple woman not every time, but on a somewhat regular basis. And then I was looking for physics terms one time. And I was trying to figure out what this, like, you know, how there's supposed to be all these other dimensions that we don't perceive. There's like 11 to 13 different dimensions, depending on the physicist you talk to. And
how many dimensions?
They think there's like 11 to 13 dimensions.
In string theory.
Now, am I in each one of those dimensions? Is there? I've been watching a lot of Rick and Morty lately, and I'm thinking there's a bunch of Sams out there.
So they think there's like these dimensions that are like rolled up and so small that like we can't perceive them, and like dimensions that are like running parallel to our dimensions that we live in. I don't know. I don't know enough about physics, and I was Googling kind of some of those like old physics ideas. I used to read a little physics when I was much younger, and I was like Google imaging stuff, and then out of nowhere this drawing of this fucking purple woman pops up, and that's like this DMT lady that I see. And then
this is the lady you see.
And then I looked into it, and who made that is this guy in Turkey that smokes DMT. and paints what he sees. I sent that to my friend Bob. He's a funny comic, Bob Kozorabi in Austin, and he was like, "Yep, that's her."
Holy shit!
Yeah,
that's amazing.
I know. And so that's just like one, yeah, that's one peculiar thing that's happened in my DMT experiences. I haven't had DMT in about a year, and before that it was almost a year too.
Do you think there's a dimension she trips balls into?
I think so.
Like she smokes DMT and she goes even, and then there's like a red flaming lady that she knows about, and then it just keeps going dip.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's alchemy, as above, so below.
Yeah.
So it never ends.
Yeah, I imagine it never ends. Every time I think that I have DMT figured out, which was several times where I was like, okay, I'm going to smoke DMT right now, and I know exactly where I'm going to be going because I've seen all of the DMT worlds that there is to see. And every time I convince myself of that, I smoke DMT, and then it's just some completely different universe that I have never seen before and looks nothing like any of my previous trips. And so it's seemingly just endless. There's just endless worlds out there that can be explored. I personally kind of think that there's maybe a multiverse inside of our heads that are running different simulations, and we have like these kind of ideas about ourselves and our various roles in life, and they're kind of running simulations, much like a dream, as to how to you know, when you're thinking about what you're going to do tonight or your five-year plan or whatever, these little versions of yourself are being ran through kind of like a this holographic obstacle course sort of thing and inside of your head to help you make better decisions. But that's like my best stab at trying to ground this stuff in any kind of reality. And because most people are just like, you know, it's the spirit mode. It's, you go to a different dimension, you see these different beings, and it's like outside of the brain. I kind of think of that as maybe inside of the brain, but now I have a lot of questions about that too, and I don't necessarily believe that anymore. So I don't know. I don't know what to think about any of it. I kind of can't.
To kind of tie
I'm
in.
Taking that. A little break from psychedelics myself, actually.
That's funny. That's what Red Band said last time we saw him. We were like, hey, dude, we know someone with mushrooms. He's like, man, I'm good. I've tripped hard. To kind of piggyback and tie in what you're saying, originally when scientists isolated the, was it the root or the leaf to make ayahuasca, they wanted to call it telepathine, wasn't it? Because they believe that, I believe that's the exact term, because they thought that it created telepathy.
Mm.
And so the idea, I don't know if you know this or if you felt this in psychedelics, psychedelics almost expose you to the stream of time. You're not, you both can feel the reverberations forward and backwards. So you being up on the mountain, you kind of receive the message, you know, that was already being sent. And with the way you're talking about visionary artists, we've talked about it before. I like telling people they don't know about it real quick. There's an artist named Michael Richards, just like Kramer, but he was a black dude. And he had his
art. That's ironic.
Yeah. And he had his studio in the World Trade Center. I think it was the South Tower, North Tower. First, it was the one that got hit first. He made sculptures of himself as Saint Assisi, who's always shown bound to a pole with arrows in him. Well, he did a self-portrait of his sculpture of himself, and instead of arrows, it was airplanes crashing into his body.
Huh.
And he died in 9/11 when an airplane crashed in four floors above him instantly. Huh. So the idea is the same way as like when we get into a psychedelic experience, are we really having a vision of the future or the past, or are we just like getting a final no filter and you're seeing it all at once?
Yeah, time's a tricky thing and we don't really know exactly what it is and if it's working the way in which we perceive it. And so I don't know. That's my after my kind of experiences, especially last year, that was, I mean, that's what eventually kind of drove me to, I mean, I eventually got put in a psych ward. It was against my will, but I was getting very far out there. But
what was going through your head that they felt they had to put you away? Was it that?
I thought that I had figured out this way of manipulating time and this way of passing ideas through time, into the past and forward into the future and constructing new realities. Like I was kind of just putting together this these early ideas of how this is working. I was just trying to make sense of these experiences that I had had, where just like these bizarre things were happening to me, and it just seemed like I started. So I was up for about 3 weeks straight, like working on these ideas of mine, and I would like pass schizophrenic people on the street, and they'd be like, "They see you." And I'm like, "What the fuck is going on right now?" And it was like I could understand if like a schizophrenic person was talking, I would like it made sense to me on some like other level, kind of like when you watch.
You talk about how you used to do that, right? When you would party, yeah. You'd just like sit down and try to figure out what these guys were saying.
Yeah.
I used to do psychedelics a lot by myself, and I'd wander around the city, and I would find someone, it's not hard in LA, and I would just sit near them. And the way I look, I can sit near homeless people and they're not bothered.
Yeah.
And I would listen, and I would hear things that they would tell me.
Yeah.
And it made me think, because like, what is a schizophrenic more than a shaman? There's 1 foot in the mystic realm, you know? The waters that the schizophrenic drown in is the waters that the mystic float upon.
Right, right.
So I was like, I think I'm going crazy, or I think I'm kind of, maybe I've tapped into something, but.
Yeah, yeah. I think that they are maybe tapping into something. And
Mark Maron had
sure
a joke about that. He had a joke about like, you know, what if these homeless guys we see, we think they're talking to themselves, but what if they're really talking to God, and God's like, "You're the chosen one." He's like, I can't do it. You know, we're like, "Oh, look at that guy talking to himself. How crazy is that fucking guy?" Yeah, I guess it's like, you know, everything you've said to me is so interesting. I mean, like, we're sober. I've stated this before. I'm nobody to model after in terms of sobriety, because I don't see psychedelics as drugs.
Yeah.
And maybe that's just me finding fine print and trying to find out a way to do psychedelics. But I don't feel like psychedelics are drugs. And I think if you get a lot of knowledge that, you know, it's like I did a psychedelics about 6 months ago, I'd say. And it really helped me with my career in terms of like just being like okay with where I was in my life. Like I remember that was like a theme. Like it's like, dude, you're exactly where you need to be.
Right.
And you don't have to worry about, you know, because like the people I started with, they're all millionaires, theater comics. A couple of them pop up on the top 15 highest earning comics in the world, you know.
Yeah.
And even though I'm so happy for them, it is somewhat of a mind fuck at the same time, because it's like we were all playing in the same arena, and they made decisions that, and I made my decisions, and they went separate ways. And so that could fuck your skull pretty bad. But I remember taking these shrooms and just this theme of just like, it's all right, dude. You know, it's all right. Yeah. And since that moment, it's been a real release, you know, of, the pressure, the need to be doing this, and this in order to feel like I'm working comic. And as I let it go, the most amazing things have happened in my life.
No.
More than, you know, it's like within my time in LA, which is like almost 2 decades, I've had like 2 years where I'm like, these are the great years. And like, you know, one was when I had a TV show, and one is this year. And it's like all because of the ability to let shit go and really mine into something. Like what I admire about you is your ability to to have found a career in something that you love, you know. And it's like you enjoy the world of psychedelics, and to be able to find a career in that is so amazing, you know.
I don't know that I have. I mean, I think
you got a movie coming out.
Yeah,
you had a, you know, I remember
I maybe have a TV show coming out about it as well. But yeah, and my tour went amazingly well.
Yeah, Vegas. I'm friends with Matt and Joaquin over there at the LA Comedy Club, and they told me that you packed it out. And like, and that's not easy to do in that. It's a wonderful club. It's a wonderful club, but to pack out a room in Vegas is so hard because there's so many options. Yeah. And you did it. And I always like when I sit down with people, you know, and who am I? And I'm nobody. But you know, like I like to let people know what I've learned in this kind of journey through entertainment, in this hard ass business that we've picked. And the little things I've learned is like, find something you love to do and find a way to make a living off it. You know, and that's like this show. Like, I love conspiracies. I love hearing about it. You know, when I hear about you going into this alternative realm, like, I want to go to that realm. I'm going to go to that realm. And I love it. But it's like, there's a whole realm of conspiracies that people don't know about. And it's like, I love hearing all about that stuff, and, you know, and just accepting that, hey, dude, why not have fun with it? If I'm not hurting anyone, not stealing from anybody, like, why not enjoy this kind of journey to go into it? And it's like, it's like weird kind of like capitalism in this weird kind of way, where it's like where your dad or your uncle or your grandpa started his own business and grew it, and it's the same thing. You know, you did it through psychedelics, I've done it through we've done it through conspiracies, and I think it's a really great lesson to learn. I don't know why people are afraid, don't do more psychedelics. I don't understand it. They'll drink beer till the cow comes home. Yeah,
I know.
Weed.
That is, compared to all of the other drugs out there, it's just
think about what alcohol and cocaine do. It gives you an over sense of ego. Yeah. And what I could see from you, the moment I met you, because like, I'm the type of guy that's done some work, so I like look people in the eyes and whatnot, I can see you don't have an ego. In this town, you could see the douchebag egos that are like, you can't even get close enough, you could see the ego. What psychedelics do is 100% will give you ego death.
Oh, yeah.
And that, what most normal people don't know, is necessity in order to be a functioning human being, where you're not going to think of yourself as this giant, like the world is yours. Because real quick, Dr. Wayne Dyer, have you ever heard of him?
No.
Okay, guys, real quick. The story is of a hunter from India. He goes to Africa once a year. He goes to Africa, he comes into the jungle, he sees a bunch of multicolored birds, and they're all talking. And he's like, whoa, he throws up, grabs one of the birds, brings it back to India, puts it in a golden, gilded cage, sings to it, feeds it, gives it honey, takes care of it. For a year goes by, and talks to it. And he's like, I'm going to go back and visit your brothers. Is there anything that you'd like me to tell them? He's like, tell them I'm in my golden cage, I'm well taken care of, I've been sung to, and not to worry about me. He goes back to Africa, gets into the enclave, sees all the birds and sees them. I have a message from your brother. He's in his golden cage. He's well taken care of and not to worry about him. Upon hearing it, one of his brothers tears up, falls dead off the branch. He's like, he must have had a broken heart. Goes home. I told your brothers what you said. Upon hearing it, one of them teared up and died. Upon hearing that, the bird fell to the bottom of his golden cage. And the hunter is heartbroken. He grabbed him, threw him out on the trash pile. As soon as he hits the pile, he flies up on the branch. And he goes, what is this? Have I been deceived? He's like, no, my brothers back home had a message for me. In order for me to live, I have to die while I'm alive.
Yeah.
And we're all stuck in this golden cage where it's too easy to be an Americans. It's too easy to do everything. The real terrorist, the real bad guy, the real Trump, the real Hillary is right here in the center of your heart.
Yeah.
And you got to deal with that and kill that fucker, or come to face to know that nothing you're going to do is going to change that. So
man, I had a lot of visions like that on Iowa. I tapped into the, because I fucking hate Donald Trump. I do. And I tapped into.
Do you think one side's
Donald
better than
Trump.
The other?
No, not necessarily. I mean, I think that, I mean, how much do you want to get into it?
I'm fine with whatever.
I mean, it's hard for me to know what my biases are, because I had a very small town conservative upbringing, and I always just kind of rebelled against that my entire life. So that's probably just my hang up was kind of just being driven crazy but I mean, I know, like, my grandparents are, like, worried about, they live in Lansing, Iowa, and ever heard of Lansing, Iowa?
Yeah.
Neither have terrorists, but my grandparents think, like, the terrorists are infiltrating, like, their city and it's just, like, and it's just this huge
They must
source
just watch
of,
the news constantly.
Yeah, yeah, when I look at, like, our base level biases are just like we all look for differences in ways of judging one another, but just to, like, judge someone on a base level, like color of their skin and or religion or whatever, that seems to me to be a little worse than maybe being like whatever the problem with liberal being overly sensitive or overly PC or whatever. It's like, well, Maybe there's a reason for that because there's been a long history of systemic racism.
No, I do understand that. There is like, okay, what is this basic thing that we need to have when it comes to loving each other? You know, we don't want to overly bully each other. Right. I do believe that being prejudiced against a group based on their color, their religion, their gender, their sexual orientation is disgusting. I also do believe that the notion that somebody is a good person based on those same things, mean in power,
right.
You know, when we see somebody in power, like, oh, that is that they're bringing something special to it because they're this,
yeah,
you know, and they're not what the status quo. I think that is dangerous because those people at those level know how to manipulate that right. emotionally, and they have no problem with doing it. We right. like to project our views of ourselves onto these people, mm-hmm. and we pretend we know them based on this characteristics that they bring to the table, and I think that's equally dangerous. I think that's very dangerous, and I think that's what got us in trouble with this last election. And but I think the knowledge that you get, and I often wonder like that, like you get this knowledge and it could really drive you nuts having all this kind of knowledge. Like, because we do live in this kind of world right now where we have this like kind of thing going on. We talk about it all the time on the podcast about Trump, the deep state, the wars and all this stuff. And then you take these psychedelics and and it's just like, that's a completely different world. How do you handle that?
Yeah, I mean, where I was going with the Trump thing initially was also like during that ayahuasca experience. Like I did find like the Trump inside of me, like the aspects of myself that can be like a spoiled brat, egomaniac, narcissist or whatever. And I like gained empathy for him. And he seemed like like during my ayahuasca experience, I remember seeing him as like a. I realized that if you were to give just like any bratty, dress up like any bratty like 4 or 5 year old in like a tuxedo, and like tell them that they're the king of the world and ask them to like get, they would sound a lot like Trump, and I think he's just this kind of been. Spoon-fed, like spoiled, bratty kid that just keeps on sort of getting what he wants, and is just like addicted to more and more and more. And I think a lot of these lives, there's these kind of powerful environmental forces that are pushing us in directions that are almost outside of us. I don't even think that he understands what's happening to him.
I think it's really interesting because what we want to do is we want to believe that these people are like these shamans, almost these people running. We vote for them on this idealistic view of them, that they're caring, they're nurturing, they want to help their fellow American, they want to do this. And you know, I just came to this epiphany that person does not run for president ever.
No.
That person is actually, the person you're looking for is the person who is down on the street corners yeah. of Los Angeles, downtown, helping those people. They don't run for president. You know, this girl, she's a comic. She put, we need to replace all politicians with females. And I'm like, the women that you want in those roles don't run for that office, man. Yeah. They're like, they're on the streets. They're in the help. They're feeding the homeless. They're trying to teach the children how to, you know, those people don't run for office. So you're just electing more fucking hyenas, man.
Status seeking fucking egomania. Yeah. I mean, I don't even understand
this is
why we have presidents.
I didn't like, vote. I never voted. Yeah. And I'm kind of anti not voting. Because I think that's what they want you to not do. They don't want you to participate. But this is just for the primaries, you know?
I mean, I would vote if fire was an option, you know?
Yeah.
So what do? You totally disengage in the system? And then how does that change it? I don't have these answers.
The only constant in the universe is change. If every empire has fallen... And risen, then why would we think that America would be different, you know?
Well, I mean, the problem is I'm living in it right now, and I don't want it to crash and burn. Man. That's the problem. If we're sitting here, you know, it's like these crazy people who keep sending, you know, these evangelistic Christians who anybody on 23andMe tests for, like, an ounce of Hebrew or Jewish, they fucking ship them out to Israel to get this rapture to happen. And right. You're like, well, this is 500 years of darkness. I mean, like, what do you think is going to fucking happen? It's not Mardi Gras, dude.
It's interesting that our system is based on, like, the Greek Romans, idea of democracy. Yet they enacted every once a year, they'd go into a cave and have the Alluvian Mysteries, where they would consume something they believe was based on Syrian rue. So could you imagine if our politicians and senators all once a year, as opposed to go to Bohemian Grove and jack off around a tree and worship Moloch, they all went into a cave and got dosed the fuck out and like chanted and came out like, right, you know, maybe we can get some water to Flint, Michigan, you know, like, hey, maybe we can allow this cold fusion device we've known existed for 30 years to get out there and help third world countries. Maybe, right?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, we might just eventually just kind of move past like politicians in general at one point. Everyone might just start ignoring and being like, yeah, I don't know what this guy's yelling about, but we're all just like,
we're all
kind of
together.
Taking care of this ourselves, aren't we? Like, they're not doing anything.
Everyone wants to ask you about probably DMT and ayahuasca and whatnot, but the one more, in my personal psychedelic experience, is one of the more discombobulating downloads is salvia. And
I've never done salvia because salvia, very few people have anything good to say about salvia. And so salvia is usually described to me as like DMT's evil twin. And I've seen when DMT goes like a little toward the dark side. And that worries me.
I wonder if psychedelics are downloads, and people always talk about, oh, I got this download, but there's also upload happening. Mm-hmm. The way that John Lilly, right? Or is it Richard Lilly? Lilly,
I think
ketamine.
John Lilly, yeah.
Yeah. He talked about when he would go and do ketamine, he'd go to a place that was white and empty because not a lot of people had done this psychedelic, so the experience itself hadn't been uploaded. So when people do ayahuasca, people do ayahuasca in Japan, and they've never been to the forest, and they'll see images of jaguars and of snakes, and these are the same of people that are brown, and these are the same imagery, because the idea is that ayahuasca, all plants have memory, so the memory is being transferred over to the person using it. So psychedelics, if they have a memory, salvia is such a, I mean, it's called sacred sage, what is it, Divinora A. I heard Terrence McKenna give a speech on it, and his whole thing was Joe plant. It looks just like every other plant. We should plant it everywhere. He was like just telling everyone that we should plant it and get down with it. And I was like, dude, my experience, Terrence, that was intense, dude. Like, yeah. And the message was unclear. Afterwards, I was like, I'm pretty sure I lived a whole life. I lived and died in that like 14, 6, and you know.
So is it the high's about 10 minutes, but it feels less. Like eternity.
I've had DMT trips that have felt like the 6 minutes or whatever that they were, but I've had DMT trips that feel like thousands of years for sure, like thousands of lifetimes maybe.
You grow up, you have a family, kid goes to college,
yeah. Over and over,
get divorced.
And over again. Yeah, it's just like sometimes it's just like trying to find my way back to this reality. Like, wait, I just lived all of these other realities, and I need to get myself back to, because there's still like a person sitting on a couch that has like chores to do today. So I like need to get my
has to do laundry.
Back.
He's got to do his socks and underwear. You know, you're talking to the Supreme God. Listen, I want to finish this conversation, but I have to go. I got to go walk the dog. It hasn't pooped yet.
And so many people know the tune in, turn on, drop out, but they don't know the last part of that is when you get the message, hang up the phone.
Yeah, I was not hanging up the phone. I was just like, wait, what? I got to hear that again. And sometimes they get annoyed with me and be like, but we just showed you like all of the lessons that we have to teach you for now. And I'd be like, yeah, what was that again? And then they'd show it to me all over again and kind of rather annoyed that I kept on forgetting. But it's just too much. It's too big of a download. It's too much to process and understand. And I don't know. I hope that I get to do psychedelics again, like next year.
Well, you hope? Why? This is self-imposed.
I did. I dabbled back into just mushrooms at the end of last year, and I ended up going and having another manic episode.
How did
and getting
you consume
exceptionally
them?
Paranoid and.
What was the amount? Was it a lot? Normal amount?
How deep did you go, homeboy?
Well, the trips itself were great. It was just afterwards, like, it just started affecting this world, seemingly, and I started kind of getting these messages about time again. And then I started feeling like everything, this was like some trick that I was playing on myself. And I started feeling like... it's so hard to describe it now that I'm not experiencing it. But if you're like, how, like you saying, like, how far did you go, homeboy? That was like actually a message that I had like put into for myself to remind me that I'm like still like this is a trip that I'm on right now, forgetting that I need to like find my way back to like I'm in some other dimension sitting on a couch having smoked some other crazy drug and that's what this life is.
That's
and
so
you
funny.
Guys are like trying to remind me that that's the case through like these subtle hints that I don't quite like understand.
We're mechanical elves.
You have no idea. When you walked in today and I saw your shirt, I was like, what the fuck? Because I was raised by a family
of owls.
That's half Mexican.
Raised by a family of owls.
Almost.
That is one of the oldest stories in all time.
You know? Kicked out of the
man raised by owls.
But I was raised by half Mexican, half Cuban, and Cubans believe owls to be like protectors. And so I always had like an owl statue, and I love owls. And owls being, you know, what we're all about, Bohemian Club. And we call ourselves the Ronin. So your shirt has an owl with a samurai sword.
I
was like, damn, dude. The universe is giving us a message already, dude.
Yeah, so it felt like that. It just that still persists sometimes. I'm still getting those. But it started getting really out of control. Like I was on stage. I had to cancel a few weeks of work because one day I was on stage and all of a sudden like it became very real to me that this was this simulation of like I had built the like every joke that I was telling, like they weren't laughing at the joke, they were laughing at me. This was like this joke that I was playing on myself, and I just started like freaking out on stage and not like freaking out in like a note. I just like was forgetting all of my jokes, and I was just like really distracted. I couldn't remember anything. I did like a 30-minute headlining set or something like that, which is usually I'm such a stage hog. I'll stay on stage for like an hour 15 and you got to yank me off. And it was, I've never experienced anything like that. And so it was like, it was starting to affect my work.
I don't think there's anything wrong to take a little break from stand up. You know, sometimes you just got to take a break, man.
Yeah, you know, now I feel like I'm doing my best shit in a long time since putting together the psychedelic show. I kind of hadn't written anything new in a while, and the tour was so much fun. And I have a science podcast. I turned into the psychedelic guy, but that was never my intention. I never intended to be the
conspiracy guy, but I love it.
Yeah,
I love it. I do love it, man. It's a blessing when you find a market when you take a non-traditional role to get somewhere where you've always wanted to be, which was touring comedian, selling out places. You know, you sold out this tour. That's like insane. That's awesome, man. It's doing something that you love.
Yeah.
We got to end it here, but sure. Before we get into our question about Aaron, but I just wanted to be like, when I hear people go to India to learn the spiritual stuff, and then I look at like the condition that India is in, you know, where it's like there's so much like homelessness, there's so much poverty. Mm-hmm. Is it hard to have all this knowledge and then come back into this reality?
I get so many messages about like homelessness and all of like, and I feel sometimes I get worried that like I'm being pushed into homelessness by the universe so that like I can experience it so that I can so that like I can help understand it, you know, and I get that message a lot. I mean, and I see I remember like the worst day of my entire life of having like I had just gotten out of this surgery. I was worried about losing my foot and I was like moving out of Malibu, and I had just gone through this bad breakup and was moving into this shitty place and lost all my belongings in the breakup. And I remember, and I'm in like pajamas and haven't showered in 5 days because this is too complicated to shower with this vacuum that I had attached to my, and I'm like, and I'm driving and I like see this fucking homeless guy on the street in LA, and I'm like, oh my God, that guy's doing so much worse than I am.
Yeah.
How the fuck is that possible? How is it possible that anyone is doing dramatically worse than a guy with a huge open wound on his foot with a fucking vacuum attached to it, hasn't showered in days, got through a breakup, and is moving into like some shitty place with four other comics in it that is like too fucking messy to walk in and everything else, and like basically living in squalor, and there's someone that has it so many people have it so much worse than that. And
the power of gratitude, man.
And I don't know. I don't know what to. It's a lot. My girlfriend's a social worker, and it's
fascinating
too big
that,
of a problem.
Because LSD
so
was originally distributed to psychologists, so they could understood what it's like to be almost insane. So it's interesting that both psychedelics have the ability to bring you to the brink and to take you back from it. So
yeah.
Precaution.
Hot top. Well, what a great episode that was. We would love to go on longer, guys. I know you guys complain when the episodes are short. It's a studio time thing. Aaron was nice enough to let us come in and interview Shane before he hit the road. Again, his show, his movie will premiere, Psychonautics, a comics exploration of psychedelics, will be at Dances with Films in Los Angeles at the Chinese Theater, my favorite place to see movies, yeah. June 15th at 5 p.m. Dude, thanks for coming on, man.
Thank you.
Congrats on your journey and everything. It's pretty awesome to see.
Real quick, Shane, if we ever have a live event and we're a panel in the Belly Room, would you like to join with Duncan Trussell?
I would love to.
I'd love to have a psychedelic
with anybody. That would be awesome. Absolutely fantastic. There's also an after party.
Go.
There's also an after party for the there's a event called Sci-Fi Festival. That's this huge psychedelic festival happening the same night as my documentary. So
where?
It's the official after party. It's just a few miles away. So if you go to the psychonaut, if you go to the screenings, there's information for it. And so there's going to be like, you know, five different bands and psychedelic bands. There's going to be like 10 different speakers and 20 different, like, you know, flame spinning performers and that sort of thing. And so it's going to be a crazy psychedelic evening.
I will be there, dude. I'm going to check out your movie and I'm going to go to that. Thanks again for coming on, dude. We appreciate it. We'd love to do an Aaron moment, but we got to go.
For the children, we teach the children. You know what I mean?